This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Jason Brown, who I really wish I met about 20 years ago when I started my entrepreneurial journey. He's a serial entrepreneur and CEO with four decades of result-driven leadership. He transformed startups into million-dollar companies doing business on the global stage. Jason, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's very nice to be on the show, and thanks for the invite.
And I really mean it. I wish I had met you 20 years ago. But it's never too late. I would love to learn why you got into entrepreneurship. What was your why?
So back in 1976, I bought a shirt, and it was a 100% cotton shirt from Mexico. It was a Herga jacket. It was a thick sweatshirt, kind of a hoodie, kind of a shirt. And I just thought it was just a great shirt. I had no game plan, no business plan, nothing. And I thought, wow, if I like it, I bet if I buy a bunch of them, people will like them in the United States. So I bought 1,000 of them. And I took them up to the University of Colorado in Boulder, and I opened up a 6-foot table, and I put the shirts on the table, and I sold all 1,000 of them for $12.95, and I only paid $2.50 per shirt. I made 10 grand in 5 days, and I went, well, that was good. Let's do that again. And that became a multi-million dollar company that ultimately in 1984, I sold it as a chain of cotton clothing stores to a large bank of England. And that was the beginning of my journey of going from just a one-hit wonder who had an idea and bought a shirt to building companies for a living.
Speaking of building companies, you've built 9 very, very successful companies, and you're working on your 10th one right now, the Family Central, which I would love to learn a little bit more later. But let's talk about the 9 different companies that you've had. It's clear that they're in different verticals. How did you, was there a formula that you had that you'd say that you implemented into each company, even though it was in a different industry? Or did you have to really dive into that industry, understand everything about that particular industry, and then sort of start from scratch?
Well, it's really important to understand that I failed completely once. I built a company, it didn't work. I had to put it into bankruptcy and put it out of business. And then I had in another company where it was successful, I actually sold it, and then they ended up putting it out of business after I sold it. The other companies I hung on to, or I sold them to different people. And the common thread, quite honestly, Maria, is that what I do is I build companies that are direct to consumers. So I'm not a guy who is super smart and capable of building a wholesale network around an industry. I'm pretty good at building a company that is a business model that is directly sold to a human being. And with that said, I've been blessed in this life to come up with ideas that people think are good ideas, and they're interested in them, and they buy them because they meet their own personal needs. So my goal is to solve a problem for an individual. And I'll give you some crazy examples. So I one day decided that I wanted to go overseas, that I wanted to build a company in Australia, and that I wanted to live there because the fishing was really good, and I wanted to experience living in Australia. So I thought about it. I picked up the phone. I contacted Gert Boyle, who is the founder and CEO, she has passed away, of Columbia Sportswear. And we did a handshake contract, and I took Columbia Sportswear to Australia and New Zealand. And that's generally a wholesale business, but I couldn't see myself building a wholesale business. So I built the first Columbia sportswear stores in the world.
Wow.
And I built one in Sydney, one in Auckland, and one in Melbourne. And then as they grew up as a business, I then ended up wholesaling, but everything I did in the beginning was direct to consumer. And that was my second clothing company.
And it's amazing you said direct to consumer. That's one of the hardest, I guess, well, it's hard now because it's so competitive, especially when we have to be online and so noisy online. But to be so successful with direct to consumer based business models, that's pretty amazing, I think. And to your point, you know, it's clear that you understood what it takes to go after that target audience and help solve the problems. And then you took different types of, I guess, brands and products and sort of duplicated the model. I think my challenge as an entrepreneur.
Excuse me, one sure. second, Maria, but in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, direct to consumer was very different. It was building a store.
Wow.
There was no thing called the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You physically had to open up a store someplace. And so, you know, it's just a different world. I built a chain of food stores that was called Organic To Go, and a chain of clothing stores and a pharmacy group. And those were all bricks and mortar. In 1999, everything switched over to the internet.
Which is very good in many ways, but I think very noisy for a lot of brands out there. And I think the struggle that they're having is, how do they continue talking to their consumers? And I think one benefit to having a brick and mortar is that you're connecting with them personally. You're there.
Yep.
And it's easier to sell and get that trust versus when you're online. It's just so much harder, I think. Obviously, a lot has changed. I mean, it's interesting because I recently opened up a brick and mortar store, and I've been anti-brick and mortar for a long time, for the last 20 years. After I graduated from grad school, I started my first online company called weddingish.com, which was in the clothing industry, and we would buy t-shirts and put bride to be and all this fun bridal stuff and sell it to the brides and their parties. And it wasn't until 20 years later, when the pandemic happened, I have another brand. It's a health and wellness brand, where I remember sitting down with my husband and saying, I think we can't go the brick and mortar way. And he was just like, what? You've been so anti brick and mortar for 20 years. Why would you want to go that route? I said, because the online space is too noisy. We can't be heard there. We need to go and start getting in touch with people and understand what they need and start helping them at a personal level. So speaking of that, what advice do you have for businesses that are direct to consumer and really struggling to compete out there in this extremely saturated marketplace?
You know, it's all about the quality and integrity of the product. Getting that first $1 million worth of sales is the most difficult. After that, it's about scale. But getting that first million happens because you're selling something that has relevance, that is important, that can be something for someone. And what I would honorably say to someone is that if you wouldn't buy it online, no one else will either.
Yeah.
If it doesn't resonate with you that it's a really good idea, then it probably isn't. And maybe you should take a really good look at that.
Great advice. Let's talk about selling your companies. How is that journey like? I know that for my health and wellness brand, my long-term goal is to eventually sell the company. But there's just so much that I still don't know that I need to work on in the next few years to position myself to be in a healthy space to attract the buyers. What advice do you have?
You know, I would again say it's about authenticity and it's about building something of value. If you have something of value, if you have an authentic brand, if you have customers that are staying engaged with your quality of your product, then people are going to call you. Every company I've ever sold was easy. The selling part wasn't difficult at all. And I'm kind of known for closing deals within 3 months because I'm selling something that is proven. Mm. We've already proven that it's a good idea and that people like it. Now, the next step is how do you scale it differently? And the one good thing about selling a company, there's many good things, but the one thing in particular is if you pick the right strategic to sell the company to, they honestly believe in their heart of hearts that they can add great value. They can take that value and make whatever you've built as a business and make it grow dramatically. You know, the company we're building now is called Family Central, and it's a pure play technology company all about creating a cocoon for your family, a place where you can store intimate, life important, very secure video information that transcends life. Whether it's a video to talk to your spouse post your passing, or whether it's a place to store your will, or a place to store baby records forever, or medical health, or all of the things that a family needs to have access to, but also needs to know that it is securely stored someplace. And when we go to marry it into a new enterprise, it will be because what we're offering now can help another company do a better job. I mean, one of the things that we think is really important, is all about retention and the retention of a customer, because you are selling something that is a great thing for their lives. If you sell a product that creates retention, then the amount of buyers is a multiple. A company like Verizon is looking to how do they make a better relationship with their customers. So a company like Family Central could be of interest to them because it's an adjunct to the thing that you don't like paying. You don't like paying your cell phone bill. But if they gave you something for free, they created retention, then you would end up staying with Verizon even longer.
Agreed. Actually, American Express does that really well, where they offer you free Hulu and free all these free subscriptions. And that gives me a reason to use their card versus Chase or anyone else, because these are subscriptions that I'm already paying for. And if I can get it for free, why not? Great advice. Thank you for that. So I'm going to ask one more question regarding selling your company. Did you approach them or did they come to you? Like, how was that process like?
The first company I ever sold, the way it was sold was that I answered the telephone. And on the other end of the phone was a large English bank that knew who we were and wanted to acquire us. The last company I sold, which was sold to Nestle Health Science in 2019, I picked up the phone and I called their head of business development and said, hey, I think you should take a really hard look at buying us because we fit what you're trying to create. And first conversation, the comeback was, we already know who you are and we really like what you're doing. I'd love to have a chat. And I said, great. 90 days later, they own the company.
Wow, that's really impressive. So if somebody's looking to sell their company, would the business development personnel be the person of contact in most cases? Or would it be
the CEO?
Got it. Thank you. I'm actually taking notes here. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs who are struggling with focus? You know, as an entrepreneur, I know shiny objects can come their way. Great ideas can come daily. And one of the biggest challenges I personally deal with is putting ideas aside. I actually created my own notebook that literally has custom tabs that I've created so that I can start compartmentalizing my ideas and not putting them all on one place where it's gonna just overwhelm me. But you know, it's there, I've got crazy ideas. I've got ideas that I could do, maybe implement in the next 6 months or so. But again, it's very challenging to stay focused on what my ultimate, you know, goal is and not let these amazing ideas, or at least I think sometimes they're amazing and a lot of them are not, but what advice do you have for someone like me to not get distracted by all these new ideas and new things that I'm constantly being exposed to, or I'm just simply coming up with ideas?
You know, it's really important to feel comfortable in your skin to say no. Okay. And if you say no to an idea, it empowers you to do what it is that you're currently doing. And it's no different than marriage. I mean, if you want to stay married, you don't date other people, right? So you've got a big opportunity in that marriage or in the building of that business. Stay focused on it and build it out to the best that it can be. Every small, using your word, shiny penny that goes flying across the room takes you from accomplishing your real goal.
Wow, well said. I never thought of it that way. I've been married for 20 years. We're actually celebrating our 20th year. Thank you. And I never thought about my businesses that way. And I know that, you know, I tend to just sometimes pay more attention to one than the other. But it's insane. And then lately, I have an 8-month-old baby, and the baby is definitely taking a lot of my time. And he's forcing me to focus to the point where I'm like, I can't deal with two different companies and the priorities of it all. How do I focus? And so the challenge, but now if I think of it like a marriage, then I think I'll figure out a solution as to how to focus on it.
It's a good choice. And well, you're welcome. And thanks for having me. I mean, at the end of the day, entrepreneur land is a choice. Yeah. It's not for everyone. And the grass is always greener on the other side. I am an unhirable individual.
Yeah.
Right? People don't want to hire me to work in their company. I have put myself out into the marketplace a couple of times, and you know, unless they're looking for a new CEO, I'm not the right guy.
Yeah.
Because they don't want somebody to take over the thought process. I'm proud to be a member of Entrepreneurland, and I love what I do for a living. I love the opportunity of taking men and women who are good people and building extensive teams. And that's what I do.
Jason, have you thought about, or are you doing, when you're, in terms of transforming startups into million-dollar companies, what are some ways that you're helping them? Is there a place where startups or our listeners who may be startup owners can connect with you for whether it's mentorship or consultation or coaching?
Well, you know, my email is very simple. It's jason@familycentral.com. And very seldom do I turn down people who want to have a chat. But as long as it's an honorable request, I'm open to having a chat and talking about stuff. But I don't have any secret Kool-Aid or, you know, success pill. What I have is a lifetime of working my ass off and doing it out of the love and joy of taking care of my family. And you got to put in the time, you got to put in the energy, you got to have the focus. And if you have those three things, then you got a pretty good chance of not failing. And then the degree of success is more about the authenticity of the product. If you're selling ice cream in the middle of winter, probably not going to be a big idea. But if you sell it in the middle of the summer, you got a pretty good shot of making it a business.
Right, right. Good point. In terms of, have you ever ran any of your businesses simultaneously where it was two different companies at the same time? Yeah.
No, I'm monogamous.
I love that. And I think, you know, I feel like the secret sauce is literally taking the business and treating it like a marriage. I just had an aha moment when you said it, like treat it like a marriage. And I've been faithfully married to my husband for 20 years. And if I just had thought of that, I think I wouldn't have had the problem of trying to struggle with focus as an entrepreneur. And I thank you for that. I'm so glad that this show is gonna be a proof of my aha moment. This is definitely gonna be a turning point for me. One more question, Jason. As a parting thought, what advice do you have for companies that are doing well? They're doing six figures in sales and they really want to scale the company, but they're still not at a place where they have a lot of employees and a team to support or the funding to do scalable marketing to acquire more customers. Do you advise them to go take out a loan and try to scale it? Or like, what would you tell them if they're trying to really grow the company into $1 million business?
$1 million business is a lifestyle business. And I wouldn't recommend bringing in outside investors or taking out loans, or I'd figure out how to just make it a lifestyle business. You make a salary, you make enough money, you're happy. If you think that your business is a $10, $20, $100 million company, then you should put it out there into the marketplace and see what other people think too. If no one is willing to invest in your company, that should tell you that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? And so these are weird times. Right now, there's a tremendous headwind about people not being able to get funding, but this too will pass. And brilliant ideas that are authentic and well-developed and fully focused, they will become companies of meaning. And what I would recommend is that if you're trying to build $1 million company, you know, do friends and family, keep it low key, and just make a success story for yourself and maybe a couple of friends. If you're trying to build a scalable company, which is 5, 10, 20, 50 million, then be willing to bring in outside money so that you're in a position that you can have geometric growth. Somebody literally almost 40 years ago said to me, growth consumes cash. And at the time, I was a dumb young entrepreneur and I was like, nah, that's stupid, because the faster you grow, the more cash you have. That's not the truth. Because the more business you have, the more inventory you need, the more people you need. And the last thing I want to say to you is that companies are created because of intelligent, articulate, capable individuals being allowed to do their own job. I am only as good as the men and women that work with me.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that in my heart of hearts.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jason. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. If you don't mind mentioning how our listeners can get a hold of you if they're interested to connect with you. And also Family Central will be up and running very soon, right? The app?
Yeah. It'll be out into the public sometime by the end of September.
Amazing.
But right now it's completely stealth. And my email is pretty simple. It's just Jason@Family Central. And I'm not an investor. I am already building a company, so I'm not looking for a company, but I'm always open to being helpful if there's some way that I can.
Thank you. And how can we support you and Family Central?
When we launch, I'll let you know about it. And if you can mention what we're doing, it would be greatly appreciated.
Amazing. Can't wait. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. It was a lovely experience.
Same here.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.